That has started, and I'll put the study up, and here we go for another Sabbath and a new month.
Yep,
we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahalcha B'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Shabbat Shalom. So let's ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another Shabbat and another month of God, the ninth month of God, Kislev. Bless and anoint everything that's done here. Everything that's said, the conversations, the study, the reading of your word, let everything be to the glory of the living God. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll protect us in this world that's so wicked at this moment, with all the atrocities happening. Put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. I thank God for the blood of Yeshua, the word of God. I thank God for salvation. And may God bless every one of you and answer your prayers and open up doors for you, and may God answer your requests, as long as there's something that furthers you spiritually and also physically. Something we need sometimes, things that in our lives that help us even in this physical life. May God touch us and heal us, strengthen us, answer and in every endeavor that we give us right discernment. That's what we need, right discernment and understanding and right reasoning in all matters. And I thank God for another Shabbat and another month of God. May God bless you and be with you and protect you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are still using Pope Gregory's calendar, right?
You do.
And still it's November 14th, 2015.
Yes.
Thank you. And you guys know what November is weird. I mean, it means nine. Nov, it means nine. But now it's the 11th month. However, God got his own calendar, the God of Israel, that is. And we're in the month of Kislev, the ninth month. Zechariah 7:1, in case you don't know where that's at. And for some reason in English, they put Kislu.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there's a V at the end, so it's very simple to say Kislev. Anyway, and that's part of November and December. And you guys are, most of you people that are here, are very familiar with the ministry we have as a teaching ministry, trying to undelete some of these things that have been put into our lives unknowingly to us. And we thought they were just normal. But I try to make things clearer. Soon our website will be up, I hope. That you'll be able to see the website. You'll be able to see the studies again. You'll be able to hear them. You'll watch them. You'll be able to download them, you know, the whole thing. We're on Pow Talk right now. Well, before I start, I wanted to go over some sad news. I'm sure you guys are all aware of this. In Paris, the attacks, ISIS is claiming responsibility for gunfire. They killed 128 people already, and most of them killed themselves, too.
Yeah.
I think one officer killed the last one. These are suicide bombers. You can't really do anything. ISIS claims responsibility, and they're calling the attacks the first of the storm. So this thing, and listen, now I want you to listen to this. They found a Syrian passport was found near one of the bodies of the attackers outside of the targeted sites. And so a Syrian passport. Then you have the Obama administration is moving to increase and accelerate the number of Syrian refugees who might be admitted into the United States.
Right.
The move comes after President Barack Obama pledges in September to admit an additional 10,000 Syrian refugees by 2016. And the White House would not say how many additional refugees it may take in beyond 10,000.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
I think that's wrong.
The senior administration officials said they are seeking ways to increase the number. Now, does that make any sense? I mean, even if they vet them, they could be tricked. I mean, if you tell somebody, I'm not a terrorist, you still might be, right?
They lie.
Of course.
We're infidels.
They can lie to them.
Yeah, so that's all going on big time right now. So that's why you got to watch out for... I mean, ISIS is in America too. They say there's thousands of cells around, so you got to be careful. Myself personally, I'm always alerted, to not be around crowds of people, or I don't like being around where there's, you know, a lot of people, because it seems like, unfortunately, that's where they attack.
It's called bang for the buck.
Yeah. And then you got to watch out for the made-up nationality divide that's going on. They're trying to divide the blacks from the whites.
Yeah,
that's going on
the
big
last
time.
7 years. Yeah.
I don't know
exactly
if there's any action at Vanderbilt University right now, but in Missouri, the Missouri campus, they're having
The terrorist was a Syrian refugee.
He was a Syrian refugee, the terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway, getting back to the Missouri campus, which is in Missouri, white students were asked to leave the black-only healing space. You know, it's been quite a week at the University of Missouri, in the campus there in Missouri. From hunger strike, listen to this, hunger strikes by rich kids, to swastikas, to black football players boycotting games, to the resignation of the president and the chancellor, to beating preachers in a safe speech zone, white students at the University of Missouri was told to leave the black-only healing space and meet in a different room. So this divide is going on in the country. They're starting to divide the whites and the blacks again. In Clarion University in Pennsylvania, a play was canceled because the actors were white. So we'll try to figure that out. And then we have this lady, Keely Mullen. I don't know if you heard about her. She's today, right now, as we're sitting here in a nice, peaceful setting, they're doing the Million Student March. So I suspect it's going on in a lot of universities. And she's demanding that they get free, tuition-free public college, cancellation of all student debt, and a $15 minimum wage for all campus workers.
And who's going to pay for
that?
Well,
See, what you just said, who's going to pay for that? That's the first question anybody intelligent would actually ask. Well, here's what I wanted to read to you, this crazy dialogue that went on between Keely Mullen and Neil Cavuto, one of the Fox Business guys on the network there. I'll just read this to you. Tell me if you think this sounds crazy.
Yes.
I don't know. She might get the award for not making any logical sense. Keely Mullen, who serves as the Million Student March's national organizer, spoke to the Fox Business Network, Neil Cavuto's, regarding the group's list of demands. She goes, so the movement, the Million Student March, is a movement for a more equitable and fair system of education, Mullen insisted, as opposed to the really corporate model we have now.
What's wrong with the corporate model?
She went on to list the three demands, like I just told you, free public college. If that's true, I'll just go back to college too. I like to learn robotics and all kind of stuff for free, and learn all kind of genetics. I love doing all that. She wants to have the cancellation of student debt and a minimum, and for the minimum wage, a $15 pay, only for the people who work on campus.
Who cares about anybody else?
So Cavuto, just like you and me and like anyone else, immediately he steered the conversation. Like I always tell you, you bring people back into your con. He steered the conversation toward how Mullen envisioned such a plan might be funded. He said, same thing you just said.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to be paid for? Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah,
the guest took a pregnant pause before suggesting that she did not understand the question.
Oh,
hello. Finally, pressed to name a source for the incalculable new venue stream needed to enact her utopian dream, Mullen acknowledged that she is anxious to see America's greedy rich have their wealth confiscated. She goes, and then she speaks, you know, that 1% of the people in society, she said, that are hoarding the wealth are really sort of causing a catastrophe that students are facing. I mean, we have a relationship now with 1% of the population owns more wealth than the 99% combined.
Accurate.
So basically, if you manage your life, let's put it this way. If you worked, managed your life, and were successful, you need to be penalized.
Yeah.
Then she says, Cavuto pointed out that the nation's top earners have already seen their tax rate jump twice in the recent years, as well as a deep cut in the deductions they are allowed to declare. He says, how much more do you think they should pay? He asked.
So they're up to about
50%. She goes, she responded, I think she wants them to pay enough until we have a system where not one in two American families are threatened with poverty. What is that? She has so many issues confused.
She melts into one.
Cavuto explained that the 1% hoarders, and he's, sort of saying it, sarcastically, the 1% hoarders are smart people, asking her, who's going to pay for all this stuff you want when the wealth leaves the U.S., when they leave the country?
First said when they leave, and she goes, what do you mean?
He first said, when they leave. She goes, when they leave? He goes, when they leave the country. She goes, well, I guess they're always going to be 1% of the U.S., she reassured him.
Now those people.
So in other words, if all the wealth leaves, then the next level will leave, and then the next
who's
level.
Who's going to pay all those teachers that are doing free education?
Well, I think
1%.
When Mullen began citing the world's wealthiest citizens to further her narrative, Cavuto got her back on track. That's what you're supposed to do. He says, are you talking about 85 billionaires, he asked, or are you extending this to the 1% of, or whomever, who earn a little more than $250,000? At what level, Keeley, do you start saying you've got to pay a hell of a lot more than you are paying right now in Texas? Here's what she says. She said she supported a tax rate of at least 90% on those in that top tax bracket, suggesting her own peers would gladly give all but a dime of every dollar they earn to the federal government.
Oh, yeah, they would.
Yeah.
Well, she drank the Kool-Aid.
Those $15 an hour people would give all but 10 cents if that's...
Well, Neil Cavuto said... Neil Cavuto says, I dare say, unless you're high as a kite, you wouldn't volunteer to pay 90%.
Exactly.
Anyway... So, I don't know if that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, but talking about mixing up about so many different issues, yeah, poverty, rich, wealth, success, minimum wage, and today they're marching to get these, her demands, and I suspect it's going on all around the country as we're sitting here in a nice, quiet setting. Is it happening again?
They're trying to get rid of something in Vanderbilt, too.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to, in Vanderbilt, they're trying to do the same thing.
They're trying to get, what are they trying to do to it?
They have, like, presidents retiring or fought, what are they?
A lot, but hey.
What's happening in every college? It's really, isn't that amazing?
It's just ridiculous.
Well, that's like saying I don't.
It's just
Steve
so
Jobs
out there. They're trying to get rid of a conservative teacher right now.
What's that right now? What are you saying? Excuse me.
They're trying to get rid of a conservative.
This is being recorded. What are you saying?
They're trying to get rid of a conservative teacher.
They're trying to get
right
rid
now.
Of a conservative teacher at Vanderbilt University, where we live out here. Yeah. Why? Why is that?
I said that too. Because it's conservative.
Okay. Anyway, that's just some of the crazy things that are going on in the world as we speak.
Well,
and this is going on in every university, not just, it's going on at every university right now. The Million Student March.
I wonder how many that actually end up having.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
If they give in, they're just
you'd have
stupid.
To look it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on in the study, I just thought the thing that's most frightening, I guess, to me. Well, you got
to
know about, don't make people trick you into a black and white conflict for no reason, and don't
really?
And just be cautious about ISIS.
Yeah.
Anyway, pertaining to last night's study, for the record, the true Messiah had to come while the Second Temple was still standing and before the Second Temple was destroyed. Everybody should know that.
Yeah.
And then I cited those three verses again, which were, Malachi 3:1. It says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, who is Yeshua, the Messiah, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith Yehovah Sabaoth.
And I put more of Haggai in there because you missed
it. And then in Haggai chapter 2, it says, Who is left among you that saw the house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith Jehovah, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, O ye people of the land, saith Jehovah, and work, I am with you, saith Jehovah of hosts, according to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, yet once a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, symbolizing the Messiah. And I will fill this house with glory, which is the Messiah, saith Jehovah Tzavaot. So you got to know these verses if you're talking to Judaism, anyone in Judaism, because they're thinking the Messiah hasn't come yet. These are very good verses.
Can I put the last verse? The latter...
You missed that last verse.
Yes, verse 8.
We'll have to add that later.
Former.
Okay.
But say it. The latter.
The latter house is going to be greater than the former.
Yes.
Okay.
That's important.
We forgot two verses. I'll put them in the study later. I think that was verse 3 and verse 8. Okay.
Yeah.
Then we have Daniel, of course. And it gives the whole history right there of what's going to happen. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Believe it or not, verse 24 is the whole history of everything that's going to happen. It's just put in such a way you have to understand what it's saying. Then he goes into a little more simpler dialogue. He goes, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, and these weeks are 7 years, you know, seven, that's 49 years, and it comes out to 483 years, and the street shall be built again, and the wall in troublous times."
So he had to come.
And then it says, "After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off," of course, and he died for the sins of the world, not for himself, he died for the sins of the world, and the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary.
And
that happened too. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of wars, desolations are determined. So you could say that the siege of Jerusalem happened in 70 AD, with a Roman army led by Emperor Titus, with Tiberius Julius Alexander as his second in command, besieged and conquered the city of Jerusalem. That's 70 AD, however. Okay. So we all know just by reading these couple of verses that Messiah had to come before the second temple was destroyed.
Absolutely.
It's really that simple. You don't have to be, shouldn't boggle anyone's mind or shouldn't send you in spinning or nothing. It's just, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so going into today's study, I think you should know, you better know what you think you believe, is the name of the title. So you have to study, prove, ask, watch, seek, and search, and read.
Absolutely.
How's that?
Yeah.
I find most often, most people do not read the word,
they don't
know it. They just listen to speakers that tickle their ears with fair speeches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every year I watch people following the leader, which I believe was Satan, doing all these false holidays and with no true understanding. They just do whatever the world tells them to do. It's almost like they don't know what they're doing, right? They couldn't possibly. I mean, if they really knew, if they look something up. You know, isn't it sad with the advent of the internet, anyone can look up the origin of these pagan holidays, and they got kids lying to their kids. I was watching this, we were watching it the other day, when we were loading up some furniture and things to bring out of the building. They had this guy dressed in red, his red little Santa Claus suit, looked totally ridiculous.
Taking pictures
and scaring the kids. Were all screaming because this guy was coming at him with this red suit and a beard. He looked like a nut, like crazy. But anyway, the parents were trying to get the Santa Claus to go behind the kids, and they were playing with the kids so they'd smile, trying to take a picture with the stupid thing behind the kids so they wouldn't scream. Anyway, it's for the children, yeah. Lie to the children. So anyway, John tells us, he says, "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, No lie is of the truth. So basically, any heresy is not going to the kingdom of heaven. Apostle Paul tells us that. Saul, no heresy is going to the kingdom of heaven. So you have to study, prove all things. I guess if you seek, knock, seek, ask, you know, it's like the Lord says, and read, prove all things. Paul tells the Thessalonians that. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Paul tells Timothy, study to show yourself approved. You have to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman or woman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? And you have to learn how to put all the verses together.
Rightly is important.
Rightly dividing them, right.
That's right. Just making up your own idea.
This seems to be a common theme throughout all the letters. Paul tells the Colossians, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. That means you better know the word, that you may know how you ought to answer every person. Peter tells him the same thing. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every person that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you, and do it with meekness and fear. You know?
Yes.
You have to be ready to answer everyone that comes to you. That's why I say, make sure you know a little bit about everything that's going on. Keep abreast of current events. Keep abreast of a lot of things. And Paul tells the Colossians again, let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly. So how do you do that? You have to read a lot. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Right? We'll be singing later. Peter says, you better grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. That's 2 Peter 3:18. To him be glory both now, forever and ever. Amen. Paul tells the Romans, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to prove everything, you know, and that's why I always say we're spiritual forensic detectives. We have to prove everything. Get the evidence. Proverbs tells us that the simple believe every word. Proverbs 14:15. But the prudent person looks well to their going, right? If you're
absolutely
prudent.
Absolutely.
Paul tells Timothy, watch in all things. Watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry.
Absolutely.
You have to do that. Mm-hmm. Proverbs tells us the glory of God is to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The book of Isaiah says, seek ye out of the book of Jehovah and read, not one of these shall fail. So he wants you to seek you out of the book. Proverbs 1 says, a wise person will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. That's what I would do. Proverbs 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Proverbs 9:9. Proverbs 16:21 says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increase learning. The wise, it says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and they add learning to his lips. That's important.
Yeah.
So you do have to know a little bit about many different categories that are in the world, different subject matters. Like you do need to know. Otherwise, you won't be able to answer everyone.
Sure.
I'm not saying be a scholar and everything, but I mean, just know enough to get your point across. I can't say this enough, and God says it enough. I mean, he says it a lot. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you.
It's a big one.
Neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you.
Yeah.
That's Deuteronomy 4:2.
You know that.
Right from the beginning, Torah, God has instructed us because he knows that people are going to add, they're going to diminish. I mean, nowadays there's endless videos on, you know, on the internet, endless DVDs. I don't even know if there's CDs anymore, but there's endless everything.
I'm sure some people still have some CDs.
Yeah.
Still have
some CDs. Deuteronomy 12 says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. That's Deuteronomy 12:32. And then, of course, Proverbs 36 says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove you, and you be found a liar. Amen. So those things are very important. That was chapter 30, verse 6.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, I didn't think there were 36 chapters. Okay. Thank you.
So you have to watch out for the traditions and commandments of men and people of this world, right? Most churches, synagogues, and messianic movements are filled with traditions of man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua says in Matthew 15:2, he says, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They were saying that. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They were trying to ask Messiah that. But he doesn't answer their question. Notice how he just goes, he answers and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Notice how he avoids their questions and he just asks them a question. That's the smart way to do it. If you get caught up in their arena, you get tricked. But don't even answer their question. Say, wait a minute, what about this? For God commands, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, and you honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. That's ridiculous. It's to honor your mother and father. It's not some amazing thing that you're doing to help them. You hypocrites. Yeshua says, you hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, his people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Mm-hmm.
Commandments of men. Isn't that amazing? In Mark, it says basically the same thing, 7:5. The Pharisees and scribes, who are the religious leaders, they're the ones that always seem to be the antagonistic people there. Why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders? They eat bread with unwashed hands. And then Yeshua doesn't answer them, like I told you. See, all the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all knew this. And they all wrote the same thing. Yeshua answered and said unto them, Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. He says, you people honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do you worship me. Messiah said, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You lay aside the commandments of God, that you may hold your own tradition, as washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. Now he's not saying don't wash dirty cups and don't eat out of.
That's not more important.
And he didn't say don't wash your hands.
He didn't say don't wash your hands. He's saying just don't make it a commandment above the commandments
above
of God.
That's commandments. Right. It's not on the same level.
Some people get carried away and they may not wash their cups or plates.
I don't need to wash my plate.
Nah, that's again. You need discernment and you need righteous reasoning and understanding of all matters. Sisters?
We wash our hands.
He said unto them, he said, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Making the word of God of none effect by your tradition. That's scary.
Yeah.
Which you have delivered and many such like things you do. Do you? Paul simply tells, whose name is Saul, he says to the Colossians, he says, beware, chapter 2, verse 8, lest any man or woman spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Messiah. He says, let no one, no man or woman, judge you in meat, what you eat. God already instructed us what to eat and what's not food.
Yes, he did.
Or in respect of a holy day. Notice he says holy day. Don't let anyone take away the holy days from you, of God. Or of the new moon, which we did last night, and today's the new moon. Mm-hmm. Or of the Sabbath days. There's many Sabbath days. There's the weekly Sabbath, and then there's the seven Sabbaths and the feasts of God. You know why? They're a shadow of things to come. And that body is of Messiah. And that's what it's all about. The Messiah's first and second coming. So don't let anyone judge you pertaining to these things. Don't let any man or woman beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that? Intruding into those things which they had not seen. They're just puffed up by their fleshly minds. And they're not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increase it with the increase of God. Right? So this is all really important. And it's the same, I see the same common thread through the whole Bible. I guess if you just didn't add to the Word of God or diminish, you'd be safe. Right? If you didn't, try to be the big speaker. Someone told me last week, they said they liked my studies because I just read Bible. I said, that was my whole plan. So I'll never be accountable.
You're safe.
I'm safe. Paul tells Titus, exactly. I'm not going to give you a read one verse and have a 2-hour talk on it. And
go
into
30 minutes.
30 minutes. You wouldn't be here. You guys would be passing out anyway. All I could tell you, Paul tells Titus, and I'm sure today this is even worse. He said there's many unruly and vain talkers. This is Titus 1:10. And deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths should be stopped. You know why? They subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. They want to get paid. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables. And that's why we're getting ready. That's why I gave that teaching last week about Hanukkah, which is a Jewish fable.
That's right.
Don't fall for that, you know. And command, it says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth, you know.
Santa Claus is a worldly fable.
Yes, I mean, this is really important to know. You know, I was just, maybe one day we should just bring up, we should list a bunch of topics and subjects that we should all know a little bit about. That'd probably be a good thing to do. Maybe an outline of subjects and topics we should know in this century. This way you know a little bit about Islam, Catholicism, whatever other religion you think is important. Just know a little bit about them. World events. You should definitely know who's running for president right now, watching the debates.
Yeah.
We watch all of them. Make sure we know who's who and what they're saying. You should know who the politicians are. You should know who the business people are running for president. If you don't know what they're saying, you're just tricking yourself because you won't know how to answer anybody intelligently. So there's many things you need to stay abreast of. I don't know, maybe even in the science world, you need to know about evolution and creation.
Yes.
I'm not saying go become a scientist or DNA specialist, but you should know a little bit about that so you can answer people intelligently and bring things up to people that are atheists, which I did the other day to a young man who said he didn't believe in God, but I brought up some different things that he didn't know how to answer it because I said, even atheist genius scientists in the genetics world, they found little factories of things working hand in hand, and they knew that something gave it its information. So there had to be a programmer to give this program, this running program, you know. They're amazed because even in the DNA, in the genome there's evidence of an intelligent designer, and these atheists don't know what to make of that because it can't happen by random chance. So it has to be something or some kind of force that they're not aware of. So you have to know how to answer many different things. I'm always watching, like I told you the other day, I'm always listening to that site. It's called Creation, what's it called? Creations.
Creation Science
Network. and or something like that, Science Creation Network, one of those. Either way, you'll find it on Google. It has endless videos if you ever have spare time, and it's from all different scientists and all different fields, biology and, you know, genetics, all different astronomy and different fields, but they're all creationists. So you might find that needful, because you might pick up one or two things that somebody might hit you with during the week, and you know how to answer it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you're going to memorize all the different animals they talk about and all the different, you know, subjects they talk about, but one or two, you know, it's good to know certain things. And one thing we should all know, Jeremiah 10:2, Jehovah says, learn not the way of the heathen, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we all, without knowingly, followed the heathen. We were part of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, Jeremiah, he says, the customs of the people are vain. Now, let me put it this way. I'm saying, like, we're not against eating turkey. We're not against lighting candles. Just don't tell anyone it's a commandment. I'm not against sports, even though I could think of more other things that I'd like to do than watch that. But I'm saying the customs of the people are just vain, really. Watching a guy hit a ball in a hole in the ground, I mean, that's like ridiculous. And then giving the guy.
That's what they want to do.
But that's what they want to do. Let them go do that. If they're that crazy and give the guy millions of dollars, go ahead. The other guy throwing a pigskin around on a field and jumping on top of each other, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want. You know, if you look at it for what it really is. No, but I mean, they made it into, like, you know, like that's what the whole world's doing.
Well, it's better than robbing people and
But just think, they have to, these other people want to take all their money away.
Yeah.
Just think, most of the football players or basketball players are of black origin, right?
And
we're not against that. But I wonder if this girl tried to get their money away. They're going to give it all to her?
Or just the white men, yeah.
Or maybe only the white sports players should give their money away.
That would be a good one to hit her with.
Anyway, try to go think that one over. I'd like to see how many people are going to give their money to her.
90% of
them. Actually, most of these people are going to, sought after universities, too. They didn't go there for free. Who footed the bill for them to go there?
Who pays the teachers?
Yeah.
They really have to be good to get there and get a scholarship.
Well, some it's funny. Some of these teachers, too, have the same mentality. So I wonder how many teachers would like just to work for free.
They might as well. Why not?
They should have all the professors work for free.
No, they don't want them to work for free. They want us to pay for their salaries. Are you kidding me?
So basically, we were talking yesterday.
It's not sustainable.
Getting back to some of these subjects. So basically, if you're successful, if you managed your life, if you went to work, if you should be penalized and taxed.
You got the best at whatever you do.
Yeah. Anyone that's successful should be penalized, according to them. Anyway.
That will definitely make nobody want to be successful. Why not just take off the
anyway. Well, you know, the other day, actually your son was telling us that in Antioch, in Tennessee here, there's families that all the kids are on welfare. None of them go to work, and they all give the welfare checks to the parents that are on welfare, and they have a whole bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And he goes, they're so lazy. He goes, he couldn't believe they're doing that.
Reality check.
Reality.
What's out there?
And he was really mad at that. And this is a young man, 24.
Because he's working.
Anyway, the customs of the people are vain. Now, in the past, this is about an idol, but it sure sounds like the old tree today. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with his axe. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Isn't that amazing? Some people, a long time ago, I guess maybe they still do it in some parts of the world. They cut a tree down. They bring it into their house where they live. They use a part to warm themselves in the fire. Other piece to cook their meals. And the other piece they make an idol and pray to. Out of the one tree.
Right. They do.
I guess, is that called conserving?
Conserving. I think that's called stupid.
It's called stupid. It's called
did
crazy.
Did they not realize the other part of burning up and they're worshiping this?
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's called... you got to watch out for dumb people that try to say things, because if you analyze what they're really saying,
if
some things are very... I hate to use the word. They're just dumb. I mean, there's no logical essence to anything they're saying. They're just lack of wisdom.
You wonder who funds them.
Huh?
Who funds a person to get that stupid? And stay, be on the
I don't know.
Network or whatever.
I don't know. Anyway, so you got to watch out for the devil, because the devil wants to be your father, even though we have a father. Yeshua got really mad at those Pharisees and scribes. He said, "You're of your father, the devil. Did you know your father is the devil? And the lust of your father you will do." That's John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him.
Yeah.
When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's a liar and the father of it. And he's your father. Imagine somebody, imagine Yeshua. Some people think that we're harsh and mean. Could you imagine that's pretty harsh. Yeshua's telling him that your father is the devil.
Yeah, it's the truth.
John 8:44. Look that up.
Read it before. I wonder where that lady is getting her money.
Huh?
That lady
that's what I was saying.
Where she getting
her money? Who's funding that?
I'm sure her parents sent her to the university. I didn't think she went there by herself. Or who knows? I don't really know.
Or some other political agenda.
Did you know John actually mimics, or I should say, says the same words as Yeshua in a different way? John says, "He that," in 1 John 3:8, he writes this letter and he goes, "He that commits sin is of the devil." So you're of the devil. The devil is your father.
That just makes sense.
The devil sins. He sinned from the beginning and even before that. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. We don't go around sinning presumptuously or willfully. You know why? Because the seed of God remains in us, and we don't sin because we're born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. So there are children of the devil. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And you may not think of it like that, but Yeshua and his disciple John both recognized this, that you could have someone that's their father is really the devil. Isn't that amazing? They're children of the devil. Verse 10 says they're children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loves not his brother or sister. So, Paul tells the Ephesians, don't give any place to the devil. No place. Right?
Right.
That's why we didn't do Halloween, because it's a satanic holiday. It's not a has nothing to do with God. We don't do any of these made-up holidays. James even says the same thing. See, all the people that are of the seed of God all speak the same thing. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Right? Some people have conversations with the devil. Some people are possessed with the devil. Some people listen to the devil. And the devil is their father and they're children of Satan.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you would blow yourself up and kill a whole bunch of innocent people that are minding their own business, just going to an event, that's pretty satanic.
And they go straight to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they go straight to hell.
It's pretty amazing. They go directly to hell. Yes.
Do not collect $200.
I believe because today, you know, unfortunately, the internet has brought a lot of good things to the world. You know, a lot of things you could learn on the internet, but there's a lot of evils too. And I don't understand why they don't stop these tweets with all these terrorists that they're tweeting.
Good question.
Yeah.
Why don't they stop those tweets?
But that's how they find out what's going to happen.
I know, but there's too many masters, too many teachers, too many books, too many DVDs, too many videos of bad things. Paul tells Timothy, and this is many years ago, you know, I would say over 1,900 years ago, he goes, know this also, that in the last days perilous times are going to come. Men and women are going to be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's 2 Timothy 3. Without natural affection. Of course, now they're trying to push down the throat of everyone, transgenders, you know.
Oh, they're making it normal.
They're trying to make it normal. They, I mean, who would like a transgender teacher? and it's satanic.
I don't want to be paying them.
I mean, you know.
The worst thing is the bathroom thing.
Well, I think the Supreme Court somewhere. I believe this, one of the Supreme Courts, wasn't that, we heard the other day, one of the Supreme Courts knocked down. They said whatever gender you were, that's on your birth certificate, that's what you're going to have to be when you go into a restroom somewhere. In a certain state. I don't remember. What state was that? I don't remember what state it was, but I hope that goes in every state. You don't want somebody of a different...
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, in
kinds of perverts.
You got to watch out for a lot of perverts
just
are running around.
Just
they could
whatever,
be
just
they could be posing as different sex and
How you gonna prove it?
Without natural affection, they're truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means very hard to appease. You know, fierce despisers of those that are good. They hate anything that's good. I mean, what's so wrong about telling someone, get a good education, get something that's sort of that has a career attached to it, go to school, learn something that's going to benefit yourself and this world. If you just get a job, I mean, you're not going to really end up anywhere. I mean, you might do that when you're very, very young, but as you get older, you should go to school and get a career so you can have a life. But, I mean, how long can you work at, no offense, McDonald's? I mean, you can't work there your whole life. Well,
and usually you go to school to do that.
No, I mean, but then again, they're trying to push the minimum wage. They're probably trying to push it to $25 an hour. I'd work at McDonald's for that, wouldn't you? $25 an hour?
Well, everything else would get more expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Accommodated. Those hamburgers would be.
How much would that have?
$10 a piece. $10 hamburger used to be a dollar.
Anyway, we live in this world that's very, very, everything is very conflicting. Logic is thrown out the window. Stupidity is trying to reign as supreme.
That's right.
Watch out for people that are traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Watch out for the people that have a form of godliness, but denying
those
the power thereof. From such, turn away. You're supposed to turn away, not pray for them. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, and they lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning. They're ever learning, but they're not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, of course, we were informed about Jannes and Jambres who withstood Moses. So did these also resist the truth. They're men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. So this is very important. Evil people will always be exposed, just that... you have to really huddle up with people that are godly and try to find them.
Amen.
And that's what we're trying to do right now. We're trying to suck people that are, they do the holy days like us. They do the new moon like us. Their doctrine might vary a little bit, but I'm thinking as we get to know them and we get to explain matters and prove things with the Bible, maybe, who knows? You never know. People could change because they seem like they want to know the truth. So we're trying to... befriend people too in God, and you know, things might turn around. Paul tells Timothy, and he says, I charge you. That's pretty serious. Paul says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, that who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, and I'm charging every one of you, you better preach the word, and you better be instant in season and out of season. You better reprove and you better rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So that's a pretty amazing charge. And we all better do those things. I take it to myself too. For the time's going to come where they'll not endure sound doctrine, which I think the time has come. But after their own lust, they're going to heap to themselves teachers. And that teachers comes in many forms. Like I was telling you, you guys know that, DVDs, YouTube videos, just many different forms, websites. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, I wonder, ever since my server's been down, how many people have gone to different websites and tried to look for things that they think are true and might be tainted now with different heresies.
They don't read the word anymore.
But if you don't read the word,
right.
You know,
you can't rely on a website.
You can't study languages and think that's going to save you. You better know the word of God. You better know the word of God. Languages are not going to save you. Learning Hebrew is not going to save you. Learning lexicon information is not going to save you. Dictionaries. But make sure you know the word of God. So in closing...
Already?
What do you mean already? You think this has been a short study?
Seems like it.
Soon I'll have to explain again. New Year. How do you think I feel? It's not short to me. Every year I have to explain about the pagan, everything that's happening. And New Year's going to be coming again in the dead of winter? No, that's wrong. You should all know that,
it's
right?
It's not very new.
God's New Year's in the spring, right? Exodus chapter 12. Read it. Read it yourself. So remember, I have not written this stuff, this information unto you, because you know not the truth. All of you here are, I know, are logical in God and sensible in God, and God has given you discernment to understand these things. But because I have not written it because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. So if anyone has varying doctrines, that's called a lie, and that's scary. So make sure you know what you think you believe. You understand that with that sentence? And how do you do that? Well, you have to read the word, and then you have to be able to explain it to people in your own words. You have to be able to explain things to people. Just like last night, I was get a little bit sort of in awe, a little bit, some people. They didn't even know those verses about how to prove that the Messiah came before the Second Temple was destroyed, and where are they? That's important to know if you're going to talk to any Jewish person. That's a very big subject matter to know when you talk, because most Jews think the Messiah hasn't even come yet. So to prove that the Messiah came already, you have to show that he came before the Second Temple was destroyed. Very important. And that you have to be able to prove it, and you have to know the Bible to do that. In Romans, Paul tells the Romans, whatsoever things are written aforetime, and you know what? They were written for your learning and my learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures you might have hope. So the Bible is actually a history book. It's a learning manual. It's a manual of how to make it to the kingdom of heaven, that's for sure,
definitely.
And have a... that free gift of God, which is the Messiah and his blood, his sacrifice that was broken for us. Paul says to the Philippians, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. That's what I always say. And that's why I always say my studies, you could read them, you could watch them, you could download them. You could do anything you want, but besides all that, do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's what Paul tells them. So all these letters Paul wrote, he says, please, you learned these matters, you received it, you heard them, you seen me, I can't try to come to you as much as I possibly could. You know, obviously there was no public transportation like we have today. And he said, but make sure you do them. And the God of Shalom shall be with you. So watch out. And I did phrase this a long time ago, 'tis the season to be pagan. It might come out of your mouth without you knowing it. Did it? It did, didn't it? Yeah, beware of false. Huh?
She sang it.
You sang it. And who did you sing that to?
My daughter.
Ryan Allen.
You sang it to your daughter and your husband.
Grandson.
And did you know, you just sang it out of nowhere?
Yeah. Well,
and what did they say when you sang, 'tis the season to be?
They just kind of looked at me. And
they probably thought, what? So you got to beware of the false image of love, because I know this false image of love is going to be trying to engulf you with your relatives and friends and I guess your people that you work with, your co-workers, they're all going to try to engulf you in their love. And what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? And they're going to, I don't know how they phrase it to you.
Mine don't do that anymore.
You got to watch out false feelings and emotions that that might try to affect you. These pagan feasts bring on loneliness, depression. Some people brings on suicide. And, of course, debt. A lot of people.
Yeah.
I've been getting like tons of emails about Black Friday.
Yeah.
And the make-believe Thanksgiving hasn't even happened yet.
No.
That's on Thursday.
It's all commercial.
And it's so commercial. I mean, isn't that amazing?
Oh, it is. It's all Christmas.
Christmas is coming again. Xmas. Once upon a time, Christmas was banned in the 17th century. Did you know that? 1659. Here's some other facts. Maybe you forgot. The Christmas tree, its origin comes from Germany in the 1500s.
Yeah.
It was brought to the United States different times by German immigrants. Connecticut got it in 1777, Pennsylvania 1821. It was decorated in Ohio in 1847. National Christmas tree, probably in New York, I guess, 1923, became a national holiday in 1870. I mean, the whole thing is brought over from Europe and from their paganness.
Their ancestry.
Excuse me?
Their pagan ancestry.
That they escaped from.
Pagan ancestry.
Ancestry,
yes.
Ancestors.
Yes. It's nice having you guys this close to me so you guys are all being recorded on this, on this also. It's different than when I'm just standing up there in the back and you're trying to say something, they don't hear you, but now they hear you. Right. So, this everything that's happening, some silly people sing to their dressed-up dead tree. Did you used to do that?
Yes.
You did?
I sang this song.
I don't think
I
ever...
sang to the song.
I don't
want to sing it because then it would be
stuck
in my brain.
Well, anyway, some people sing to their... The old Christmas tree is a traditional German Christmas carol.
Yeah.
Could you imagine you're singing to a dead tree? I can never understand that when I look at some now people buying dead trees. I always think, why don't you go buy a nice little bush, you know, that you could plant it and you know.
But some people do that. They're the really righteous people. They buy
anyway,
roots and everything so they can plant it.
So I guess the study is sort of a, let's see, what would you call this study? To make sure you know what you believe. Make sure you know about current events. It's really important because if you don't know current events, you're not going to know how to answer people or have an intellectual exchange with someone that, you know, stays abreast of all these matters. You know, make sure you know about ISIS and make sure you're very aware of the supposed, nationality conflict again, you know, blacks against whites.
Yeah.
And that's all imaginary. I have many African-American friends that are just, we've been friends forever.
It was not much of a problem 7 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of raises up its little dirty head of so many years. Didn't it happen in the 70s? The riots?
But since then, it's gotten much better until our current
the hippies.
And the hippies and all the people
war,
and the war. And
war
everyone's race. I wrote a song one time, and some of my words in the song was everyone's cause causes more pain, and I really thought about that, you know, and I thought everyone
weird
has a
causes.
Cause, but some of them cause more pain, you know,
right.
It's
weird
terrible,
causes.
And you got to watch out for what you think you're fighting for. Remember, there's many battles out there. You have to pick your battles and make sure that they're worthy. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go around arguing the people that want to save the whales. I mean, I'm more interested in saving the babies in abortion, right?
Right.
I'm more interested in teaching the kids in school about that evolution is just a myth. There's no evidence of transmutations.
Yeah.
I'm interested in, you know, many things that are just announced or pronounced as facts when they're just fraudulent. So that's what you got to learn. Pick things that are valuable, that all pertain to God. And look at that little tiny bird behind you. Oh, you missed it.
Oh, what was it?
A little tiny one.
Was it a finch?
No, it's a little black and white one right there. It was about so-so.
Little
and I love looking at God's nature and his animals. And I thank God for everything He's given us and everything He gives you, and may God help you with everything. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this study. Let us be good stewards of Your word, good stewards in everything we do. We know we're going to be accountable for everything we do, Father. Teach us to hunger and thirst for Your word. Let us also stay abreast and walk circumspectly in this world, being abreast of every subject matter that is of importance and matters where we could assist other people, where they might have different matters incorrectly discussed into them, that we could help them with discernment and reasoning. Bless and anoint the rest of this Shabbat. Bless everything we do the rest of this day, Father. The singing, the food, bless it, make it to the nourishment of our bodies. Help us, lead us and guide us in everything we wherever we go, Father, in this world. And I pray You'll open up doors that we're not even aware of. Thank God for the blood of Yeshua, for the word of God, and may God be with you. And Shabbat Shalom. God bless you. In Yeshua's name.
Shabbat
Amen.
Shabbat Shalom.
I'm going to stop the video. Shabbat Shalom. I hope to put this back on our websites soon. I got my server upstairs. I'm going to upload all the new studies I haven't done. So once we turn it on again, it'll all be current. Yeah. Shabbat Shalom. And then I'll say Shabbat Shalom on the